The Bible is the story. Science tells us how the story works. It's all God's stuff. We just got to understand how the one works with the other so that we can function.
Today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, along with special guest Dr. Caroline Leaf, reveal the importance of growing and developing your brain for spiritual health. Discover God's design next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and we praise you. We lift up our hearts before you. And by faith, we receive revelation from heaven today, and we give you praise and we honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you again today welcoming Dr. Caroline Leaf with us.
Thank praise you.
Praise the Lord. Caroline, it's so wonderful.
So nice being with you.
Lovely. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great.
The thing that has in all of the 50 plus years that I've When I first began to find out, we've been born again longer than that, but I began to learn, both of us were scriptural illiterates when we got born again. And it always amazed me that science is catching up with the Bible. it's catching up with it. And I watch the general revelation knowledge of the church grow. And it's amazing how the world of science seems to begin to catch up as the church grows. I've seen that. I've been in the ministry now, in the next few days, be 52 years.
It's incredible.
And I've noticed that the more people learn about the spirit realm, and the more people begin to live and walk by faith, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of problems in the body of Christ, but there's a lot of dynamite people in there, man, that are, whoa, you know,
exactly.
A lot of great and wonderful, marvelous things are happening.
Yes.
And when that happens, I notice the rest of the world begins to grasp more and have more understanding. They don't, in a lot of cases, they don't even realize they have it. But it's being released. And quantum physics just gets all over me because of the spiritual fabric that it's talking about. That an incident that happened. I'm thinking about a thing that happened. We came home from we'd been gone for several days, and I drove in from the airport, and there was a car I'd never seen before in the driveway. Beautiful yellow 500 Mercedes convertible. Gorgeous car, but it was right in my way. And I'd never seen it before. So I called and somebody left a car in my driveway and they said, "That's your car." I said, "No, not my car. That's a gorgeous thing, but it isn't mine." "Yeah, it is. One of your partners brought it to you." What? I said, "Lord, oh my goodness, I didn't pray for that. I didn't ask for that." I said, "What happened?" You know, Deuteronomy 28, "If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, all these blessings come on you and overtake you." He said, "Sonny boy, you just got overtook." Well, I began to pray over that and seek the Lord about it. And Gloria and I were both so thrilled, that little car. Yeah, it was so nice. the Lord said, had you not done and obeyed me, and he showed me the incident years before, something like 20 years before that. No, maybe not quite that long. Anyway, but it was only over $20.
Wow.
But it was a kind of a weird situation, but the Lord told me what to do, and I obeyed him in it. He said, if you hadn't obeyed me in that, I would not have been able to do this for you. And he began to talk to me about the fact that there's a spiritual fabric and certain things are tied together in the spirit. Well, there were years in between the two. I would have never connected those two. But see, that $20 and the young man that was involved, you don't know that $20 got that young man born again on the street. But you don't know who's behind that. You don't know who his mother's praying and all of that. Mm. All of this is connected in the spirit. This is the reason it is so vital to be obedient in even the little things.
Absolutely.
And don't violate the law of love, because you're tearing up that spiritual fabric.
And they show that with quantum physics. They actually show how love is unbreakable, but you're adding layers of this, if you imagine layers of toxic stuff on top of this beautiful fabric of love. So every toxic thought is damaging, and then it makes it more difficult. The more you're immersed in that little puddle of darkness, it's very difficult to access the fabric of love that's underneath.
And then, of course, you've got a devil right in the middle of it.
But the devil's defeated, so you don't want to give the devil any power.
Well, if you're dealing, talking, thinking,
you activate
unforgiveness, you
activated.
Just swung the door open to him
activated.
To tear up everything you've got. But 1 second of repentance,
yes.
Boom! I mean, you just blew him out of the water. Glory to God.
And the
Lord said, I am he who blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I remember your iniquities no more.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Beautiful.
Oh, that just get all over me when I think about that. His mercy endures forever. You can, with love thoughts and faith thoughts and surrounding somebody with love thoughts and faith thoughts, your brain's not only going through all of the healing processes and so forth, but you are affecting that other person.
And those other persons, because that fabric is so interwoven. And the law, one of the primary laws of quantum physics, which I mentioned in one of the broadcasts, is entanglement. And entanglement is the law of relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, all those. There's a whole chapter in there on quantum physics, and also in the Perfect You book, I link it back to the scriptures and the philosophy, and you can start seeing all these things play out. And I want to read, if I may, a quote by a Professor Henry Stapp, who's a Berkeley professor. He's 90, close to 91 actually at this stage, one of the greatest minds of the century in terms of quantum physics, and he has had a revelation of the spiritual nature of man. And can I read you this?
Absolutely,
this?
Please do.
Okay, so it's quite heavy, but we'll unpack these certain things I know you'll pick up on immediately. The free choices made by the human players, so we know about choice, can be seen as miniature versions of the choice that appeared to be needed at the creation of the universe. I mean, that in itself, okay, so quantum theory opens the doors to, and indeed demands the making of these latter free choices. So This situation is concordant with the idea of a powerful God that creates the universe and its laws, and then allows, and then there's a lot of sciencey stuff that basically says allows, then bequeaths a part of this power to beings created in his image, at least with regard to their power to make physically efficacious decisions on the basis of reasons and evaluations. So in simple translation, he's basically saying that quantum theory helps us to understand that this universe was created by a powerful God, and that we are made humans are made in that God's image, and we have this love, power, sound mind, and that when we choose life or death, and our choices have consequences. Right. That's what he is saying here, without having any schooling in the scriptures or any of that kind of the background that we've all had. Yet he's seeing through his research that it cannot be any other way. And he has been attacked by a lot of the atheists in the scientific community saying that he's crazy and this, because he sees beyond just the classical model of just the physical. He's starting to get a revelation of the spiritual nature of man and how man is at the, like he'll explain in his very complicated work that our ability as humans is fundamental to quantum physics. The core, he says, of quantum physics is a human's ability to choose and the result of those choices, and that's modeled after God, and science just confirms
we're
that.
We're the only living thing that can make a choice.
And Professor Keith Ward, exactly. Professor Keith Ward, I mentioned him on Monday's broadcast, who's he's an Oxford philosopher and theologian, also in his 80s. He basically says that quantum physics is the most accurate and fundamental of sciences, and 95% of scientists who are really asking these questions, what is humanity, who are we, what is love, what does it mean to be wired in love, are believing that we come from a supernatural power source, which is God. So it's just, I mean, science, you say, you know, you start, I'd say all this to say what you said in the beginning, how science is catching up. And so I often tell people, because it's new for some people to bring science into the church, then my question is always, I mean, 10 years ago, you can't believe the sort of comments that people think I'm something weird and whatever. Then I would say, well, where does this knowledge come from? If we believe God created everything, the Bible is the story. Science tells us how the story works. It's all God's stuff. We just got to understand how the one works with the other so that we can function. So I think science helps us to become doers of the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps translate that knowledge that we have into action, because it's get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. And when you're in that realm, that takes time. And that's one of the mindsets I talk about, time. We need to understand time and beyond time in order to function.
Well, it's no accident or coincidence that the most brilliant scientists in the history of the world have been Jews. And they today are creating more, and more technology is coming out of Israel than anywhere else on earth. And 23% of all the Nobel Prizes have been Jews.
It's unreal.
So, and the book is the basis of their thinking. Even if he's not Orthodox Jew, he's raised on this book. The principles of this book are, mm-hmm. are his principles and ways of thought.
Exactly.
And that makes him the greatest enemy of Satan. And that's the reason the Jew has been persecuted more than any other race of people on earth. But back to our choosing. You quoted this on Monday, Deuteronomy 30:19. Oh, let's go over and read that. That thing is so powerful. And I was reading this and enjoying it one day and meditating on it, and the Lord said something to me that I'd like to hear your comment on. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, you don't have any excuse. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, you is the understood subject of the sentence here. You make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
That both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. Oh, wait a minute. That means that if I choose him, I get to hear his voice. His word has a voice
yes.
to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land. Now, I don't know how many times I had read this, and I'm just meditating on it again and choosing blessing and thinking about the blessing of the Lord. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm open, Lord, you know. let me put it there. I haven't yet heard the audible voice of God. But I've heard the voice of my own spirit. And then in the course of ministry, I've heard the word of the Lord in ministry and so forth. But I heard it just as plain, Caroline. Mm-hmm. He said, Kenneth, I've already made my choice. I choose you.
Praise God.
No, that's lovely.
I said, really? Really, Lord? Yeah. He said, I choose you.
Thank you.
Ugly, messed up, me? Yes.
Yes.
But he said, I don't see you like that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. See, even before I accepted him as Lord and Savior, even my life full of sin and all that, he didn't see me that way. Mm-hmm. He knows I'm only one choice away of making Jesus the Lord of my life.
A blueprint of perfection.
Yes, glory to God.
A blueprint that we
absolutely
activate through our life. Beautiful.
And I just, if you remember that, when the wickedness of the world and all of that, wait a minute, I don't choose to hear that. I choose to believe this. Yeah, but you don't know what it, no. That's their business. That's their problem. I choose this.
Amen.
I choose Jesus every time. And He loves me.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something else. I have a wife that loves me, and I know that. And you know, still stupid thought comes across your mind. One day, I was in one end of the house and she was in the other, and she hollered something in there at me, and I was all grumped up and tired. And I said, she don't care anything about me. Whoa. I mean, the Lord exploded on the inside of me. A man I came to attention, and he said, who do you think you are? He said, it's none of your business whether she cares anything about you or not. It is your business to care for her.
Amen.
Changed my life forever.
Changed your mindset.
That one moment changed my thinking. It just changed the workings of my mind. But even at that, I had to choose to obey what I just learned.
To choose.
I had to choose it.
And in that choice, you changed your mind.
Yes.
You renewed your mind.
Yes.
You changed the structure in your brain. You started transforming things. And
Now, see, I didn't know that about my brain till I met you.
You started wiring out this and wiring that in.
Amen.
But it takes time. It's not, and you know, that's the other thing that we spoke about a few times. I've referenced it. One of the mindsets I talk about is that we need to accept that there's a time factor involved. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's very easy. Okay, you are aware of this. It's very easy when you're in a meeting with a whole lot of people, or you're in a group like this where you all agree on the same thing, and you can get on a high, and you actually are kind of on a good high.
Oh, yeah.
There's dopamine being released in your brain, dopamine and various neurotransmitters. And so it's very easy to feel, I can do this. I'm going to talk to God every 10 seconds. I'm going to have this forgiveness mindset. But generally what happens is that by the third day, we're quite good for about 48 hours. But if we don't push through and have a time mindset and an eternal mindset, you've got to have the two together. Most people will give up within 3 to 4 days and start all over again. And then they're back at square one again. And then they're going for the next meeting, the next laying on of hands, the next high. Always looking for high. We talk about an opioid addiction. We talk about a psychotropic addiction.
Now, that explains
something. We are talking, there's another high addiction.
That explains something. The spiritual baby really doesn't know anything. Maybe comes from a denominational background or something that didn't know anything about healing or the supernatural at all, and comes into our meetings, and man, a lot gets turned onto the Word of God, gets healed. And you can pray for them for a while, and they'll continue to receive. But there's coming a time when they're going to have to begin doing their own praying.
And that applies to, you're totally right, and that applies to every moment of every day. So we've got that principle being applied to your growth within your spiritual walk and that spiritual hope that we have to grow and
so
develop.
So really you're describing spiritual growth.
Exactly. That's on the eternal nature. There's a time element involved, a dedication, a discipline. So in the, if you think of two worlds, if you think of the 99% spiritual, that's quantum, which means space and time don't exist, which means present, past, and future are in are all now. So take Hebrews 11:1 to understand that. Hebrews 11:1 explains it perfectly because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you're hoping for, so that's a coming, an event still coming, but the substance and evidence already exists. So we have almost like a contradiction against classical physics there because classical physics says that it can't exist if it hasn't happened yet. It's cause and effect. So the classical one...
That's what you think.
Exactly. So the classical world, if you just adopt that model, you're looking just at the physical. You're just looking at time. You're just looking at something's got to be next to something to affect something. You miss the majority of humanity, which is this beyond time thing. So in the classical world, which also exists, we have to recognize that in order to wire in a healthy way of thinking, which means to build a good memory, thoughts are memories. When we talk about thoughts, we're talking about memories. We're talking about building thoughts actively all the time. To build a thought doesn't happen immediately. You build a short-term memory immediately, but to convert it into a long-term memory takes at least 21 days of daily, consistent, deliberate, intentional focus on that thing. What research shows, and this is a big part of what I've done as well, is in order to keep mind healthy and brain healthy, you have to build your brain every single day. You wake up every morning with new baby nerve cells. You wake up with this potential to grow and develop your brain. If you don't do that, you get toxicity inside your brain, which can cause anxiety, depression, physical ill health, etc. So we are designed as deeply intellectual to learn constantly, to build memory. So we're supposed to take new concepts. And we're supposed to study them. So obviously you can do it with the Bible, but there's also knowledge, which is also God's stuff. So we need to make sure we are also developing and learning and honoring God by learning about God's knowledge of the world, whatever your interest is. So the kind of books, that, for example, that I write are textbooks on how to develop your knowledge of how to develop knowledge. Does that make sense? Of how to make sure that you don't just read a scripture and it just becomes another thing that you store, but you actually make it wired in as an active part of your life. And that takes actually 63 days. So three cycles of 21 of consistent, deliberate, intentional learning, one concept at a time in order to grow. So the spiritual baby who gets stuck or whatever you want
to... Meditation again.
Meditation has a time frame. Yeah. So meditation has an alwaysness component in the spiritual world because you get that revelation. So you're actually praying, you know, that you get that... It's called retro prayer or retroactive causation where the substance and evidence already exists of the future. So in the spiritual world, the future's already happened. So you don't have to beg God for the answers or because God's not waiting for your tomorrow because Godness is alwaysness, is loveness, is already present, past, and future. It exists. What we have to do, the potential is there. What we have to do is learn how to blend time into eternity. And you can only do that by stepping into the wisdom of God. And then you can recognize and access what's already in effect and make it a part of your reality. And we're out of time.
We're out of that time,
the physical. So we have to be eternal. Can we be eternal? Can we step in our spiritual zone?
And we can take up right there next week.
Okay, we'll pick up on
day
the...
Day and night.
Yes, amen.
Exactly, day
That's
and night.
That's it, Gloria. That's it the very is. Thing. It That's is. What he told Joshua. You meditate on this day and night.
Exactly.
You don't let this... You don't let
you don't
any
stop.
Word of
love
my word
get out of you.
Get out of your thinking.
Mm-mm.
So if he thought about it 21 days, he's on his way. But if he just keeps doing it day and night...
It becomes a habit. It becomes the habit.
He said you will observe. You start having revelation.
Exactly. There's insight, there's revelation, there's change, there's transformation.
That's when you don't want to quit. You get into it. God begins to speak to you and reveal things.
It's a whole different mindset.
Amen.
to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri, USA. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearson for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 13th through 15th, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign in Sacramento, California, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
I hope you have been tuned into these broadcasts all week long, because you and I are hearing some life-changing truth and revelation that's coming straight out of the Word of God. But as you hear these things, it's not okay to just sit back and say, oh, wow, that was neat. The Bible has instructions for us when we've been taught the Word. It says this in Galatians 6, verse 6, let him who is taught the Word share or respond in all good things with him who teaches. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. What you and I need to do when we hear a word like this, like many of you who are already partners with this ministry, and you've been hearing the Word of God coming out of this place for maybe years now, it is our opportunity to go before the Lord and say, Father, how would you have me respond to the Word that I've heard? That's what partnership is about. It's a response to the Word that you've heard. Now, if you've heard something this week or on today's broadcast that impacted you or touched your heart in a way, I invite you right now to go before the Lord and say, Father, is there something you'd have me do to come alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in the preaching of this message to get it out all over the world? Because partners, that's what you're doing. Every time you sow into this ministry, you are putting this broadcast on the air. You are sending Kenneth and Glory into conventions and churches and to preach the gospel into prisons and any place that'll have them preach it. You're standing right there with them and preaching the gospel. Partners, we call you blessed because of the seed that you've sown into this ministry. Millions, and that is not an exaggeration, millions of people all over the world have heard the gospel, and souls across the globe are being won for the kingdom of God. And you're a part of that. Now, if you're not yet a partner with this ministry, I invite you to do what we've already talked about. Go before the Lord. Find out if you've got a part to play in this. And if you do, then jump on board with us. You are welcome here in this household. But I'm going to tell you something. You have an assignment with somebody somewhere to preach the gospel. And if the Lord's assigned you here with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, then do it. When you're a partner with this ministry, you have somebody praying with you and for you every single day of your life. There is somebody calling you blessed. There is somebody calling you rich. There is somebody calling you healed and whole and restored every single day. And we all need that kind of partnership in our lives. So for more information about how to be a partner with this ministry, just visit us online at kcm.org. You can find out there how to be a partner with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Now, don't miss the broadcast next week, because Kenneth and Gloria will be back here on the broadcast with their guest, Dr. Caroline Leaf, and they're going to be talking about the significance of our identity in Christ Jesus. And we're going to be learning the science behind the power of who you are in Christ. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the giving of the people. We receive it and call them blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for watching this week. We'll see you again next week. Until then, remember this: God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.